Welcome back, folks, to What Would Father Say here on the Armor of God Catholic Radio Network. Tom McNew here with the star of our show, Father John Gesualdo. Thanks, Father, for coming back and joining us again.
No problem. No, my problem. My pleasure.
Folks, we're continuing our conversation about demonology and the different levels of demonic activity. And last week, we kind of sort of raced through the first ones. Temptation, infestation, impersonation, oppression, and vexation. If you missed that one, I encourage you to go back and listen to, pick it up on our website, armorgodradio.com. Today we're going to kind of get into the last four. I'm using air quotes. You can't see me. The last four of these levels of activity. Father's correcting me. Three, three, three. So. We're going to pick up here. And Father Connor, you alluded last week to kind of our next quote unquote level with the obsession. So let's just jump in here with what does that mean
Okay, so
and what does it look like?
can I make just a pre-comment for everybody listening?
Please, please.
If you're interested in this area, again, I am just a parish priest. I am not a professional demonologist, and I am not an exorcist. But if you're really interested in this, there's whole great books out there. Father Rippenberger has a YouTube channel, the Exorcist Files. Father L Vincent Lambert. These are professional exorcists. Anything by Adam Bly. Adam Bly has like 13 videos where he walks through all of these, and some of them overlap. They overlap. I would recommend them. And so there's always a deeper dive you can take. There is a, I want to say, a 12-part class put on by the St. Paul Center for Biblical Studies, Scott Hahn's group, and it's put on by Father Vincent Lambert, and he does 12 or 13 videos. He is not just a demonologist; he is the exorcist for the Diocese of Indianapolis. So he has been quite the inspiration for me because I always show some of his videos. And I have to remind my class all the time, listen, this is a demonology class. This is not an exorcism class. Exorcism is another genre, but looking at the rite of exorcism and working backwards gives you a deeper insight to free will, the sacraments, Jesus. And it takes the mystique of the evil one, because the evil one wants to be mysterious, quiet, even cool. He's seen as cool and powerful. Anybody who knows anything about Norwegian black metal, remember in the 80s we had all the supposedly satanic groups. They weren't Ozzy and Black Sabbath. Come on. Today there are legitimate satanic black metal bands, and all you have to do is look at their lyrics and notice that their music can be seductive. But if you just look at their lyrics online, they're all anti-Catholic. They're all against the Eucharist, the Blessed Mother. I said, what? They're not making fun of Methodists or Episcopalians. There
Or
was even
Muslims.
one black metal man who had a band had a song called "Storming the Vatican," and they defy. And there's a group called Ghost. It's a
Yeah, I've heard of
death
them.
metal band. Have you heard of them?
Yeah, they
Have you
were the
seen?
ones that were remember I guess it was in the springtime, there was a group of satanic people that were on the steps of the Capitol and trying to do a black mass on the steps of the
Yeah, oh, I
Capitol.
remember that. But there's a rock band called Ghost,
One of the guys
G-H-O-S-T,
that's
and
in that
they
band
dress
was
up
there.
like priests. The lead singer dresses up like a bishop with an upside down cross. They're mocking Catholics. Like I said, they're not mocking, Presbyterians. They're not. They come straight after us. So it's like, wow, why? The devil always overplays his hand. So we can
Yeah,
jump into this first one.
hang on before you go
Okay.
there, I want to just give a little shout out to my friend Adam Bly. He
Oh,
and
good.
Debbie Giorgiani have a show on Saturday mornings called The Spirit World. And Adam and Debbie really dive into this whole all the nexuses and all the different aspects of the spirit world. He is a demonologist, and as Father Gesualdo mentioned a couple weeks ago, he's written a pretty good manual about demonology. So, if you're interested, I encourage you to go check out Adam Bly. Go
Yeah,
check
just
out
go to
the
Amazon.
Forever
He's got a
Alone.
bunch of books out there, and
Yeah,
it's a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of knowledge, not scary.
another one of these 500-pound brain guys. But anyway, so back to our demonic activity and obsessions. Maybe start with a kind of a cereal box definition of it.
Okay, so we have all these are kind of, oppression is external, vexation is the body, but this obsession is when they start hearing voices. They start entering someone's dreams, someone's mind, and the demon is allowed. Now, whether obsession happens first, then vexation, it's I guess there's a some gray area there. So now we have external. Vexation is the body, obsession is the person's mind. And if it's all three, that's just below full possession, because now the person is miserable, they're sick, they're suffering, they're exhausted. And usually that's when we need anybody at this point, believe it or not, before this point, any priest can step in and help. Confession, baptism, the Eucharist, sacramentals, because full rites have not been given over yet. If they can get themselves to church, and start living a sacramental, sacrificial, holy, and use all the weapons at their disposal to fight, this thing has now got them in their sights. Just like Jesus said to Peter, the devil has asked for you. In other words, he's coming, he's going to tempt you to deny me three times, and you're gonna give in. But I have prayed for you that even then, because the devil came after Peter and Judas, things a lot to be said there. He was picking them. I want them on my team. Those are the smartest. Those are the most effective. I want them on my team. So, even then, they're allowed to give in. Can we have repentance and discipleship? So yeah, so that's obsession is when the demons have access and rights to someone's thoughts, feelings, and in their mind and dreams. So, yeah, so that's obsession.
This is truly the point where someone is hearing voices, and it requires someone with some specialized training to
Yeah.
kind of step in. So someone from the church with some specialized training to really step in and help them.
But it doesn't have to be a full-blown exorcist yet. We have the tools to help them, and hopefully have a community. But they're also still able to exercise their free will, and to come looking for us. Listen, Father, I've been getting these thoughts. I've had these addictions. Okay, because I don't have that book with me. I should have brought it. The DeLorean Fathers, which is a community of exorcists, they made a handbook, and it was just to get them off the hook. It was to get, because they're full-blown exorcists, diocesan exorcists. And they'd say from maybe 2,000 inquiries in a city that three or four of them were actually full-blown possession. So the other ones, deacons and priests could handle. You guys, so you don't need us for this. You have the wherewithal to get it. But if you get to this place, and the person is obsessing, oppressed, and is vexating, being beat up, and no one's, and they haven't sought help. They've given in to it. And then they make some kind of deal with the demon to give them full possession. Now we're in a different place. And the biggest reason is now they cannot ask for help. They cannot approach the church. That's what I tell anybody who comes to me or any church or confessionals, Father, I think I'm possessed. No, you're not. Because if you were, you could not approach the church. Because if the Eucharist is present, if holy things are present, demons hate that. Demons hate that, and they will punish you for it. They will punish the person is called the demoniac. There's a fancy name for them. It's called the energumen, a possessed person. Nobody uses that word, but it's a fancy term. Energumen, energumen. Nobody knows what that means. We say the demoniac, the person who is possessed. That way, but the only way we find out about them is because a family member has approached us. Hey, listen, My mom, my grandma, my daughter's having these problems. Can you please come help?
Yeah.
And here's where it gets really scary and beautiful. And that's something scary and beautiful. Because the first thing you do is you minister to this family. Hey, are you guys Catholic? Have you guys been to Mass? Are you married in the church? And you find out, wow, this little girl is surrounded by sin. It's not, why is she doing this? Why wouldn't you? Well, you know, my husband and I are separated, and my boyfriend, whoa. All of a sudden, the devil has overplayed his hand. We are now entering into a relationship with this entire family. We can learn a lot from the case that inspired The Exorcist. Roland Doe, he was from a dysfunctional Lutheran family. And in the end, they all became Catholic. They all got their lives right. He overplayed his hand. But in the process, this poor kid had to go through terrible, exhausting months and months of exorcism. Now, this is not, I don't, this is where some exorcists and demonologists are like, Gazaldi, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't tell them that. But this is from a regular parish priest. There's a documentary out there called The Exorcism of Roland Doe, and I'd
Yeah.
say watch it. And it gives different insights because now we have all the notes, because everything has to be journaled, everything has to be documented, what was said, what was done. The church is very meticulous when it when someone thinks there's a possession, and it's rare. So I want to say this is extremely rare. Out of 2,000 inquiries, maybe three or four. In a big city every year, Father Lambert said, a big city like Indianapolis, he says he has maybe three full-blown exorcist possession cases. And those three or four can really occupy your time.
Yeah, sure.
It can be exhausting. But just like any addiction, you find out real quick that there's been a process, rights were given, and you have to slowly undo them. So what is that like? What is the, so the rite of exorcism is they do psychological, they do psychological screenings, physical screenings. There's a big process now with an exorcist. So, well, first someone we approach that we've been, there's an intake we do.
Yeah.
And there's an intake. We do a questionnaire. We visit the person, ask questions, and then we give it to the diocese. And then the diocese will contact whoever the exorcist is. The exorcist will come out, do their own intake, and if on rare occasion he determines, no, this is a legitimate possession situation, then he has to get his team together. He has to notify the bishop, apply. The bishop has to give permission. And here's where it gets really beautiful. The bishop gives his permission to do the solemn rite of exorcism. And then the exorcist will contact his team, in quotations, his team. And they will immediately go to confession, start fasting, start praying, going to Mass, Eucharist every single day.
Working
So,
out their
wow, here,
spiritual
what does
muscles.
that tell you right away? If you are battling sin and the evil one, you're in a big fight. Use the church. Do not do this alone. Make sure you have the backing of the church. The devil wants to isolate you, especially from the church. And then when it comes that time, the family, you show up at the house with the family, you have your team, the Eucharist, holy oils, the priest himself. And then they just enter in, start saying prayers, doing the rosary, doing liturgy. They'll start doing the saints, the list of saints, and then they have to do what they have to do. They have to build up what's called a deposit of prayer. There has to be a deposit of prayer, because sometimes when the exorcist is doing precatory demands, asking, where did you get these rites from? What is your name? Doing the litany of saints, trying to agitate. It's called agitate, so that demon manifests. Then you want to expel that demon by literally spiritually beating it up. You got to beat it up by agitating it with the priest, with holy things, with holy water, with the Blessed Sacrament, with the people saying the rosary. They're literally harassing the demoniac, and it, but it's exhausting for the person.
Sure.
But what's, like I said, beautiful about it is you want to get to the demoniac finally is empowered to renounce this thing, to get to a place where I renounce you. I renounce you. Yes, here we are. We're here to help. Don't let them scare you. We're here, and give them. And when they start renouncing, the giving the rights. So, okay, I gave the demon the right here, this, here, this, that. And then he, by the name of Jesus, I renounce you. You know, have you ever read the book, The Great Divorce? Learn a lot about demons.
Yeah.
Because the little, the little demons right here, the angel says, "Can I kill it?" And the demons whispering, "We're friends. He's gonna hurt me. You can't let him do that." They're hearing this. That's a demon. He's a liar. He's a liar. You know he's a liar. He's hurt you. Now come on. And they keep. And it. What's neat though is if let's say there's a particular saint that agitates the demon. Sometimes that particular saint has dealt with this demon before. Sometimes that whatever this sin, this person, so you know, all the deadly sins may have their own demons. Well, this particular saint has a devotion to a particular virtue. So keep saying that sins, that saint's name. You, like I said, you're finding out what aggravates him. You're bringing the whole church in. This thing is outnumbered. If there is multiple demons, which is, you know, like, how many are you? We are legion. And remember with the story of legion, because there are many of us. There could be multiple demons in there. So the exorcist, like the hierarchy of angels, there's a hierarchy of demons.
Right, right.
And you got to ask. So sometimes they'll put a lower level demon out front to get beat up.
Yeah.
And so the exorcist will find out who is the demon in charge. I want to talk to him. Bring him out now. Who is the demon in charge? And find out their name, or try to. And start to demand it, command it, agitate it. On rare occasion, I remember reading this in Adam Bly. On rare occasion, the devil himself will show up. That, you know, he wants this one. And you have to be, have a community of holy people who've been fasting, knowing that Jesus is in control of what's going on here. He's in total control. Not only he wants to save that demoniac, he wants everybody there to become more holy. He wants everybody there to become more. He wants, because once he beats the devil at his own game, all of a sudden blessings come. He has come out and revealed himself, and then everybody. That's what happened in that movie, Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yeah,
you know, the lawyer was an atheist. Well, now she's experiencing these things, and the devil overplayed his hand. Now this person's Christian. Dang it. He's like, dang it. He did it. He's using me. He's using me. So that's why he has to double down and triple down. It's like when you bet, you're hoping if you win at a gambling, you know, you bet and bet, you lose a lot or you win a lot. So the stakes are high. The stakes are very high. But if we're faithful and pray and know that Jesus, and don't lose our joy, and don't let the demon and his cuss words, and that's why you got to be in, you got to go to confession.
Yeah.
You got to be
yeah.
a Catholic in good standing, and persevere. And so, I mean, I'm not an expert in these things,
yeah.
But Adam Bly and all these, he sent me his manual. But that even after, when the devil has left, when the demon has left, there's usually some post care. You have to keep up with them, help them, because you know there's always. Remember what Jesus says, when a demon is wiped away from his lair, he goes and gets his buddies.
Yeah,
seven more. Okay, you're in a fight. You have the weapons. Use them, and God will use you. God will use you, because now you have stepped into the ring, but you didn't step in there alone. Now, one of the neat things too is sometimes, no matter whether you're Catholic or not, one of the indications that the exorcism is coming to the end and the demon is giving up is the Blessed Mother will make an appearance. The demoniac and the energumen will say, there's a lady here. I keep seeing a woman, and that means she has come to let them know, okay, the demon is gone now. You're gonna be all right. That's why. And when that happens, the Protestants, they freak out, you know. What is this woman? Oh, that's the Blessed Mother. That's the Lord's mother. Now I don't know if this is true. This is the part. I know I told everybody, you know, it's okay to watch The Exorcism of Emily Rose. This may be part of the reason why that became a famous case. One of the reasons that we have it on recording and people are still trying to decipher it. She had some of the biggest demons, Baal, all the big ones, Baal, Moloch, Asmodeus, you know, the ancient seraphs, and maybe even Satan himself. Anyway, but at the very end, the Blessed Mother does make an appearance. Whether this happened or not is up to is a controversy. But I appreciated the ending. The Blessed Mother made an appearance to her and said, "Listen, the demon's not going to leave you alone." And I can't explain why. You can come with me now. You can come with me now, or you can stay, and people will be saved by your suffering. And in the movie, she allows herself to stay, and then she does die. But God allows this to happen because He wants people to be holy, and He used the devil in a side way to accomplish those things. So that's full possession.
So we got obsession and possession. And
Upset.
so,
Now there is one more that people have talked about, that
the
Jimmy Akin and a
granddaddy of
couple.
them all.
It's the scary one. It's called subjugation of perfect possession.
Oof.
This is the one we call, these are serial killers. These are people who actually sought out to be possessed. Total free will, sought it out. Now this is my own interpretation of this. You know, when someone is possessed, or sometimes they're fighting, you know, they're sweating, they're fighting, they're miserable, they're trying to, but then some people are just fine. If anybody w watches the movie Nefarious, you know, he goes, subjugation, he's ours, we own him. They're perfectly, I mean, they're that's when, and he goes, that's perfect possession. I put here serial killers, perfectly fine, have given themselves over. They actually sought out. It's like someone who goes looking for drugs because they want the high. And so that I got that was from Jimmy Akin talks about how there are some people in rare situations they actually want to be possessed. That's scary. That's scary for whatever reason. And I put, yeah, these are scary serial killers. And
And
you
so
go into prisons.
this is a person that just is there's I mean, we have to really, really pull out the big guns, because this person is under full power and authority
Yeah, so I'm
of
not an expert on this one either, but I'm not even sure pulling out the big guns, because they have no desire. They may not have
Oh,
any
wow,
desire.
that's okay. Now that's interesting. So,
Yeah, they may not. This is full subjugation, perfect possession. They sought it out. You know, it's one thing, you know, when you give in to the hate. Maybe Hitler, maybe this is what I don't know. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking. This is the
So,
one that's it's kind of like a recent one, but God help us. Go ahead.
so if try to build a scenario here in my mind, but if there is, let's just assume that there's a serial killer living down the street from me. Scary thought, I get it. But there's no way for me to try and ask for an exorcism of that person.
Oh, not
It
really.
just doesn't happen that way.
And you're presupposing that because they've done terrible things, they're like feel guilty.
Yeah.
N not
Well, there's
no,
that.
no, no, no. I mean,
So really, it's that lack of remorse and guilt
empathy.
that really just kind
Everything
of,
is gone. They're
yeah.
they. So I don't want to push this one because this is not my area.
I got you. I got you.
But this is one has come up on some chat links that they find out there's something deeper and more sinister.
So in our last couple of minutes here, Father, I mean, let's kind of go back to our previous episode here, we all know we're going to face temptation. That's the devil's first calling card. But if we get it, if we think we're in some of these other levels, vexation, oppression, or personation, I mean, Ghostbusters doesn't actually exist. So what's our
Not
starting
really.
point? I mean, as lay people, what's our start point?
Yeah, prayer, holiness, sacrifice, the sacraments, having a prayer life, having a sacramental life. You know, sometimes Adam Bly talks about how, sometimes terrible things were done in homes. You know, demonic seances were done in homes, and just blessing it won't work. We have nuclear weapons. It's called the Mass. With permission, we can go say Mass at people's houses. But it's also, you remember, but you may have to move. You may have to, but it's usually a call to conversion. Usually, it's always a call to conversion. God allows us to be tempted to flex our spiritual muscles. You know, when you have a bully on the playground, back in the day, they would teach you how to stand up to the bully. Now they try to have, come on. But they say, no, go in there and do this. Now, the bully will get his way as long as you don't do anything. Stand up to him. And here's how you do it.
And is it safe to say that priests are taught a little bit of the recognition of this so that they can help the diocesan and the
Sure. Oh,
experts, the exorcists? So I mean,
But I mean, to be a
worst case
full-blown
scenario,
exorcist, you have to go like 2 years of training.
yeah.
And if anybody wants to be an exorcist, they'll say, no, you're not. It has to be chosen.
Chosen.
A bishop or someone has to be recommended. If it, and I remember reading that in Bly's, Adam Bly's manual said, if anybody comes running up, hey, I want to be an exorcist, that's the first person they say no to. No, you don't want this. Because that's pride. And the devil can work
Exactly.
with pride. Oh my gosh.
He loves it. He
To be a
loves it.
person of humility, of sacrifice, of prayer. That's what's so neat about being Catholic. When you study demonology, you might become Catholic. When you study Christian history, you might become
Become Catholic.
Catholic.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, that's gonna have to do it for
All right.
our study of demonology. Again, I encourage you to go back and listen to the other episodes up on our website under the schedule tab. And Father, would you leave us with a blessing,
Let's
please?
say, let's end with the glory be. All glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As there
As it
was
was in
in
the
the
beginning,
beginning.
is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All
Amen,
right,
brother.
Tom,
Thanks,
go
Father.
spit
We'll
in the
see you
devil's
next
eye.
week.
All right, see you next time.
God bless everybody. Remember to put on the armor of God.